cliffcentral.com.
Maybe this is a good time to bring in Mental Health Awareness Month, which is October. We have a brand new show which is launching on Cliff Central today at 11 a.m., which I want to tell you about. And we've got a great guest who is going to be hosting these shows to join us this morning. And he is Professor Christopher Paul Szabo. And he is the former professor academic head of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of the Witwatersrand and the head of clinical department at the Department of Psychiatry at Charlotte Maxeke Hospital in Johannesburg. So this is a man who really knows this subject probably better than anyone else in the country. He's currently an honorary professor in the department and an emeritus professor in the Faculty of Health Sciences. He was formerly the editor-in-chief of the African Journal of Psychiatry and is currently editor-in-chief of South African Psychiatry. We're going to start a show with him called Beyond Madness. It's in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, the sponsors of Brave. And it's our new podcast series that maps not only the practical aspects of psychiatry, but also the purpose, and shares a broader view on the service and the outcomes that this discipline provides to society. Let's bring him on now. Hey, Prof. Szabo, how are you?
Yes, good morning.
Morning, it's good to see you.
I'm not bad, thanks. Jeez, you got me up early for a change.
Well, yeah, I know it's always a little bit of a drag for people who've done the incredible things that you've done and who've held the positions that you've had to hear your CV read out like that. But it really is quite cool to have somebody who's got their finger on the pulse of psychiatry in South Africa and the world the way you do. I'm really excited about this show, and I can't tell you how many people have said to me over the years, we've done lots of stuff on mental health in a very general sense. People said to me, why don't you get a psychiatrist who knows, because you guys are the ones who understand the biochemistry of all of this. You're doctors. You are the ones who can prescribe things. You have a handle on the really extreme cases, the social aspects of these things. It's so great that we're able to do this show together. How did it all come about?
Well, I suppose it's been many years in the making. You alluded to the fact, or you mentioned the fact, that I'm the editor of South African Psychiatry. Mm. And I think that what I'm really hoping to do is convert the written word into the spoken word. And we had been discussing what I might do next, having edited South African Psychiatry for just over 7 years now. And the idea of a podcast came up, and I thought, well, geez, I don't know if I'm ready for that. But anyway, it kind of unfolded. And then we started to think about, well, what is the podcast going to be about? And essentially, it's psychiatrists talking about psychiatry, but right. Not in a technical way. Not in a technical way. I think that I'd like to emphasize that what I really wanted to accomplish with the podcast, and hopefully that will be the case, is that I want to look at some of the issues in psychiatry, because I think maybe people have a more one-dimensional view of what psychiatry is. It's about mental illness, and psychiatrists simply diagnose and treat.
Right.
Which is good and well, and that's exactly what we do. However, beneath that or around that, there's a lot of thinking that goes into the discipline. It's multi-layered. And I think that there are so many issues in psychiatry that have relevance to the broader society, which are not psychiatry specific, although they are very relevant for psychiatry. Psychiatry is almost the vehicle for which these issues are impacting society.
You know,
I'm
very curious to find out what the kind of subject matter is that you guys are going to discuss on this podcast. But I really like the idea that you could have two psychiatrists talking about this, because how many of us wish that we could eavesdrop on the conversations that you guys have professionally? Even if it does get a bit technical, you know, for many of us, that would be fascinating too, because I suppose there is material now, thanks to the internet, that people can look up and try to understand themselves. But to hear experts talking about this stuff, it's kind of a higher level of doing this. It's not the Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil level of, you know, oh, well, I'm very depressed or, oh, I've
exactly.
None of that stuff that really is, and it's open season on that, frankly, in the media at the moment. Everyone's doing it. To have these conversations at that level with the experts is tremendous. And obviously, there are many different layers of expertise in psychiatry. I mean, you get people who specialize in a very peculiar problem or in a group of different mental illnesses or a group of different treatments. What kind of subjects are you going to be covering?
Well, just to mention, the first podcast, which is going to be available, deals with the practice of psychiatry in a cross-cultural setting. Uh-huh. And I think that it's an excellent way to tee off the series, where we look at, for example, rapid urbanization, traditional versus modern contemporary culture, the role of psychiatry, the role of the traditional healer, all of these kinds of issues. Obviously, we have half an hour in which to do it, but I think that we put the issue out there, and hopefully what it will do is provide people for thought, food for thought, and just kind of open up the discussion, but really showing you how the discipline thinks about this particular issue. We have episodes coming up that deal with human rights and dignity. And I mean, that particular discussion kind of brought home to me just how profoundly impacted the discipline is by this issue of human rights, and how it impacts on the broader society. How do we treat the most vulnerable members of our society? And what are your rights if you are mentally ill?
I mean, do mentally ill people, severely mentally ill people who are institutionalized, do they get to vote?
Well, this is the issue. And I think that this is an ongoing discussion. And why they should be denied that is an issue that is currently being debated and looked at. So this is the whole point, because if you look constitutionally, if you look at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, everybody is equal before the law. However, some people are less equal when it comes to what should be a universal franchise, where everybody is entitled to participate in a functional democracy. So these are the kinds of issues that we would unpack and look at. And again, you would say, well, geez, what's that got to do with psychiatry? It's got a lot to do with psychiatry, because as a discipline, we are the ones who hold the responsibility of, in certain instances, needing to remove a person's rights, where you are would be declared an involuntary user, for the purposes of restoring those rights through health. So it's an onerous profession in some ways, but it's one where we are entrusted with that responsibility. And I think that in doing my kind of reading and thinking about human rights, it struck me that I'm not sure that as a trainee in psychiatry and even as a young psychiatrist, I fully grasped just how much of a responsibility it is to be a psychiatrist under those circumstances.
Prof, before I get into some more of the subject matter that you're going to be covering and the exact reasons for us deciding to do this, Bulelo's mother is also a psychiatrist, and Bulelo and I have been talking a lot recently on the show about like the cultural, the stuff you cover in the first episode, and I don't want to go over territory that you're going to give us at 11 a.m. this morning, because the show launches today, and Alan, you're actually the producer of the show as well. But perhaps you have something to add in here, Bulelo. I mean, for your mom, she is a psychiatrist in Limpopo province, where obviously, you know, resources are stretched thin, where people have cultural sensitivities when it comes to psychiatry, because, you know, there are only two settings for kind of, you know, a lot of the more culturally traditional ways of looking at this. There are two settings. Either you're mad and you must be excluded from society completely, and there's no helping you, and you're looked upon with huge amounts of judgment and sometimes even ugliness. And people are not particularly sympathetic to those guys and girls, or you are somebody who's trying to be Western, and you're trying to seek out Western solutions. How does your mom deal with that stuff, Bulelo?
So you know what? When I was really young, I was, believe it or not, a bit of an upstart. You know, I'm obviously very conservative and not opinionated now. I asked my mother a question she still hasn't answered. I said, how does she reconcile being religious and being a doctor? And that actually led to this question that you're asking now, kind of us discussing it over the years. But what's been interesting is actually South Africa, relatively speaking, is quite organized. And there is, you know, when people get sick, Gareth, and when death is at your door, and it doesn't need to be real, but as the prof will tell us, is if you imagine you're going to die, people actually, every identity politic tends to go away. And now I'm giving you my mother's answer, not what I say, is that when people think they're going to die or they feel pain, all of that stuff stops mattering about should I go Sangoma, should I go Western? Hmm. And that is her answer. But I just want to finish off on this is where her life really got interesting, because actually most of her practice was done on the rest of the continent in her work, was that there it's really like they don't want to hear about psychiatrists in certain regions where she was.
Yeah.
And now you must imagine a lot of the work she did for the 20 years she was involved in the previous company was that it was in war zones as well. So that adds a whole other layer to the question you're asking. So for my mom, she's a little bit of a different animal. She doesn't want to hear it. You know, she compartmentalizes all of it. And it's like, hey, if you're here, there are rules. I went to university, take a seat. She's not very nicey about it. You know, as warm as she is as a person,
yeah,
it's very clear. If you're here, don't tell me about your sangoma, man. You know, there's a space for that. Leave that over there. But that's how she rolls.
So, Prof, we've decided to call this show Beyond Madness. Now, aren't you going to get a lot of pushback from people because you're using the word madness? And we know that mental health has been something which has been a pejorative, calling people mad and saying the word madness has been regarded as very politically incorrect and not particularly sensitive. Are you worried about that at all?
Well, first of all, just to answer that question, no. And just to get back to Umbulelo, just to say that spirituality and science are not mutually exclusive. And I think that one can integrate the two, and certainly psychiatry, and certainly myself as a psychiatrist, I don't see a hierarchical relationship there. I think everybody must get what they need as they need it. So therefore, for me, I take a much more integrated view, and I think that any good scientist who's respectful as a clinician also of their patient's needs would understand that. So just, in response to Mbulelo's point there. But just getting back to what you'd asked me, am I going to get pushback for the use of the word madness? I think we should be less sensitive about that, because remember, the program is called Beyond Madness.
Right.
And I think that there is a stereotypical view of psychiatrists maybe even, as well as their patients, being mad. And I'm saying, okay, now hang on a sec. We're going to go beyond madness. We're going to go beyond madness in terms of talking about not psychiatric diagnoses per se. We're going to be talking about issues in psychiatry. And in fact, as psychiatrists, we're not going to be talking about diagnosing patients. We're going to be talking about the issues that we need to think about that impact on our patients, that feed into patient care. So I think the word was chosen, maybe provocatively. In fact, I shouldn't say maybe. I think intentionally, but I think there's a purpose behind it. And certainly it's not pejorative. And the truth of the word is people do use the word madness in all kinds of contexts.
Right.
And we're kind of bringing it back, but then we're taking it away from. And we're saying, you know what? We're going beyond madness.
I like it.
Gareth, I must tell you, the level of guests on the show, first, it's an honor to produce the show, number one. Number two is I've worked with the professor on Three Talk with Aline and on 702 for many years. And so finally, I'm so happy to see that he's taking front and center and he's got his own show, because he is brilliantly capable. And by the way, not only one of the every person that comes on the show, Gareth, is an expert. In their field, and they're professors, they're top doctors. And so we did a fascinating interview on sexual offences and personality disorder. So when you're looking at paedophilia, rape, that type of stuff, we've got some other very interesting things coming up with other professors talking about spirituality and how do you marry spirituality and psychiatry. And so you're going to be in for a 13-part series, podcast series, that is filled with the best of the best on the continent. And, of course, we've got some guest prof overseas. Of course,
yes, we're speaking.
Psychedelics. We're doing the cannabis debate. Yeah, we're doing some really crazy, that's interesting amazing things.
Kevin, I use crazy. Did you say crazy?
Yeah,
you say crazy.
No,
you just triggered me.
Oh, and so we are just so excited that this platform, and while we love being on the Cliff Central platform, besides obviously being on Apple, we're all
Spotify,
over very other,
yeah, all of them, Google,
all your other podcasts with you guys. But Gareth, your audience and the people that you speak to really want betterment in their life. Yeah. They want to learn more. And this show is going to teach you stuff. And
well, if you can go as controversial as, you know, mental health and sexual offenses, which is obviously an area that gets a lot of people very prickly, and then you can talk about psychedelics in another episode, I think this is going to touch on a lot of things that people are really into. Dr. Robin says, I'm just wondering if the doctors can get CPD points for listening to this new podcast.
In fact, that's an interesting one, because generally these days we kind of apply for CPD points for everything. That never crossed my mind, actually. But the truth of the matter is it's educational, it's informative, but not informative in this kind of didactic way. And I'd said to Alan, listen, if people want to know what schizophrenia is, go read a textbook.
Yes.
You know, what about the person who's schizophrenic, who's psychotic, who lands up in an institution? How are they dealt with? What are their rights? Can they vote if it's voting day while they're hot? You know, so we're looking at the issues. But can I tell a quick story that marries this whole issue of psychiatry and traditional societies?
Yes.
A very senior colleague, Norman Sartorius, told the story about Bedouins in the desert. And a bunch of psychiatrists went out there to kind of see how they live and what they're about. And in their midst was a man who was chained up. And they were kind of curious and said, okay, what's the deal with this man?
Yeah.
And the guy said, well, you know, he's possessed. And so we have to take care of him.
By jinns.
And they said, do you mind if we speak to him? Hmm. I said, no, sure, speak to him. Psychiatrist had a good conversation. Went back to the elders and said, you know, he's not possessed. He's actually ill. He suffers from a psychiatric illness. Hmm. So the elders were very kind of thoughtful and, okay, thank you. Off went the psychiatrist, came back the next day. Tribe's gone, but the man in chains is remaining behind. Moral of the story. Whilst he was thought of as suffering from what was understood to be a legitimate possession, mm-hmm. he was to be protected. Suddenly they're told he's got an illness. Stay the hell away.
Really?
So the point is this. Be careful. Unintended consequences. And that's why I say to you, psychiatry has to be respectful of what prevails culturally in communities. And you don't simply go in there and say, as much as psychiatry does see itself as universal, mm-hmm. and probably is at a certain level, you've also got to be very mindful and very respectful.
Well, Raisa Beck says here in Limpopo, you could be called a witch if you're mentally ill. And we know that happens.
No, in Limpopo, they'll call you a witch for anything. Please, let's not use mental. I'm from Limpopo. Let's not conflict the issues, please.
I remember those kind of issues in Sekhukhune land going up that way. I mean, it was a very deeply entrenched issue.
Prof,
could lead to dire consequences.
Tell us about your background here. It's always fascinating to me when we get to meet really, really smart people who've done incredible things in their careers. How did it all start for you, and what have you got up to in your career? Give us a little snapshot.
Where do I begin? Jeez, I feel a song coming on. Where do I begin? But I won't sing for you. Firstly, I'm a Witsi through and through.
Right.
Undergraduate, postgraduate. I've spent my career at Witsi, so, you know, proudly Witsi. There's that other university in the south, but we're number one as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Although, having said that, a lot of my guests are from UCT, so, you know, a lot of respect to UCT. In terms of where I came from, how far back do you want to go? Are we in the womb here, or are we...
Let's keep it to your career. I mean, what made you want to go into psychiatry in particular? I mean, you become a doctor, and then you're going to specialize in mental health.
I tell you what it was. I was an intern. In those days, they used to call us housemen. I was a houseman back in the 80s. And I did my housemanship, or internship, as they would call it today, at Barra Gwynedd, Barra. Mm-hmm. I'm very proudly a Barra boy, mm-hmm. so to speak. And there was a ward, Ward 20, where when I was doing medicine, all of the acute medical cases would go there. And I was fascinated by the psychiatric patients. I remember one guy in particular who would stand behind the nurses and he would move his hands like this. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, he was a snake. And what was he doing? He was stealing all the keys. And he stole everybody's keys and hid them all over the place. And he just captured my imagination. And I thought to myself, you know, psychiatry, there's something here, there's something interesting about this discipline. And I'd gone back to my student years where I had met my first psychiatric patient while sitting behind a psychiatrist, and she was busy giving an account of a person called Spooky, yeah, who was really threatening her. And I was sitting behind the psychiatrist, and I burst out laughing because I'd never heard of something so absurd. And she said to me in Afrikaans, she said, "Ja, jy kan lach, dokter." Yes, you can laugh, doctor. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was very chastened. After she left, the psychiatrist turned around to me and he said, "First lesson." He said, "You can laugh with a patient, never at a patient." Sure. And I never forget that. And so these were my kind of early exposures to psychiatry. And then I did national service and what have you. And I traveled the world for a year. I took a year off. I felt I'd been institutionalized for too long. I needed to get the hell out and find new pastures. Came back and I took a decision that I was going to specialize. And I thought, well, you know what? If I am going to specialize, I need to do something that really works for me. And so I chose psychiatry. I also felt that it was a discipline that best suited my nature in terms of my inclination to kind of think about things. And I would like to think I've got a more creative side to me. And I thought it's the one discipline that can probably accommodate me. And so I think it was a good fit. And here I am. And I think what's interesting to me is that at the very beginning of my studies, I had two choices, medicine or journalism. And now I find myself potentially marrying the two.
That's fantastic. So it's come full circle. That's really cool. Al, are there lots and lots of people that we've never heard before on podcasts? Because these may be people who've been in medical journals and who have given expert opinions in places that those of us who are not experts don't know about. This may be our first encounter with some of these people.
Well, it's incredible to see the guests are from far and wide. But they are the best in the business. Literally, and people that you haven't heard of, brilliant minds, and it's nice to give them this platform. And I've got to just add to this that when Professor, we had this discussion, he was busy doing some work with Adcock Ingram, OTC, mm-hmm, and it was so fascinating because when Sudhir Rampasad introduced me again, because obviously I knew Professor Christopher Salvo from the days that I booked him for 3Talk and many of the shows that we did in the past. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating to see how sponsors of Brave really wanted to get behind him in doing a show like this, because to realize that you have a problem with your mental health, and there is no health, and Prof says this all the time, it's our key line of the show, there is no health without mental health. That if you are brave enough to realize you've got a problem, if you're brave enough to go and see someone about it, then we want to support you. And this is why Sponsors of Brave is behind this, Adcock Ingram OTC Sponsor Brave. Because this, you have to be brave to get better. You have to be brave to realize that you need to get a family member help. You've got to be brave to be able to seek that help. And this show is about empowering you to get the help that you or your family member or your friend needs, because mental health affects us all. And yeah, this issue is now with COVID times at the forefront of, we're so worried about getting sick of COVID, the bug. I think COVID, the mental illnesses around COVID are far and wide, and we are only starting to see them creep in now.
I think it's such a valid point that you make. Now, Prof, I just need to bring it back for all of those of us who are not in your world and who are interested and perhaps even fascinated by it. What is the general occurrence of real serious mental health issues among the South African population? Do we have any idea of how large the problem, the scope of these kinds of challenges are for people? Because we often hear, you know, we hear a lot of amateur nonsense in the media about, oh, you know, this one is dealing with severe clinical issues around schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or anything else. Do we know how widespread these situations really are among our population?
Look, I mean, one can quote percentages, and I'm always kind of wary of quoting percentages because at the end of the day, I'm not always sure what that means. I think that what one can say is that one has to distinguish between what one would call a serious mental illness, and here we're talking about the schizophrenias and the bipolars, and it's not to say that illnesses such as depression or anxiety are not serious, but there are obviously levels. I think at the end of the day, the issue is the extent to which whatever one is suffering emotionally compromises you and impacts on your ability to function as you ordinarily would, and the extent to which you experience these emotional difficulties in a way that is distressing for you. So I think that these are the two key issues that you will find in any diagnostic process: the level of individual distress and the level of dysfunctionality. So as I said, there are various percentages. I mean, we're looking at the fact that probably conditions are under-recognized, and very importantly, mental health and psychiatry as a discipline is under-resourced in the public sector. And this is a real major issue. And, you know, when we start to talk about stigma, we always think about how individuals stigmatize other individuals. I look at it differently. I see how we as a discipline suffer from what I would call systemic stigma, where we actually are under-resourced and we are not given the kind of resources that we need to fully treat the patient population that is out there.
It's terrific. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be fascinating and interesting in every dimension. I'm looking forward to hearing the opinions of all these various experts, getting into some pretty controversial subject matter too. And we won't leave any stone unturned.
No. No, it's awesome. Not at all. Everything is out there.
Well, there it is. Professor Christopher Paul Sabo, who will be the host of the show. Alan Ford producing that and making sure we have really, really terrific guests. And if anybody's interested, this could be the thing that really answers a lot of those questions for you around psychiatry and the more intricate and sometimes a little more technical, but also those subjects that we all encounter fairly regularly, but aren't entirely sure about the vocabulary of, and maybe the actual discussions around them, and what the impact of all of that on our lives is, whether we're actually suffering from something ourselves, whether we know someone who is, or whether we're just interested in it from a sociological point of view. It's all going to be answered. Beyond Madness starts today on cliffcentral.com. at 11 a.m. You can get the podcast on our site, on our app, on Google, on Spotify, on Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, who are the sponsors of Brave. Great work. And Prof, we will speak to you soon.
Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you. Excellent. See you. Cheers. Have a good day. Excellent. Cheers. Cheers. Stuff. Cheers, everybody. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye-bye. There we go. Did you know that Bulelo has been accused of witchcraft, Al? That's a revelation for you.
I didn't. What did he do? Not so much fun.
I'm Venda. It's Stada Peck. You know, so my grandmother was Venda.
Now you're
Alan,
Venda.
It's in the
I love this guy. He claims to be Xhosa sometimes, then he's Pedi, now he's Venda. Make up your mind.
Yeah, but the president's Venda now. I'm jumping on that. My grandmother was Venda. What must I do about that?
But if the cool we get thing another... is, at least you Vended.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. In Limpopo, there was that story that was going around. It was either Limpopo or Swaziland or both, where there were air traffic controllers who were getting calls from people saying, there's a witch flying around the airport and we're worried that she's going to be sucked into the engines of the various planes. No, it was a serious thing. Like one of the pilots wouldn't take off because someone had warned him there were flying objects. It turned out the flying objects were being reported by like villagers in the area, and they were saying witches on brooms are flying around and getting in the general... The air, what do they call it? The
airspace.
Airspace of the various airports. It was a real story. It was even reported in the news. It's hilarious.
The further north you go in this country, the more ridiculous it gets, just so people know. Like, once you go past sort of Bulawayo, the city itself, I mean, for us hoity-toity suburban people, it just starts to get ridiculous. You go past Bulawayo and then it starts to get mental. By the time you get to Mavenda, oh my god, anything's possible, and they are electric, by the way. I love Venda people.
I've done some fascinating stories up with lots of Sangomas, even into Zambia, and in Yangas, actually, for that matter. One is a pharmacist in traditional medicine, and one is obviously the doctor, a traditional doctor. But the interesting thing is how we've got a sector of white sangomas, and yes, literally not the when you go put that clay on your hand and you look white.
No.
But like
I've got
white
a,
people,
we've got a white. We got a white sangoma in my family. I kid you not.
So it's fascinating, and it's of course the traditional healing.
What
that,
I want,
the ancestors.
What I want to talk, I want to talk to an umtagati. I don't want to talk to someone.
Yeah,
I want to interview one of those umtagati. You know, those bad witch doctors, the one who leaves spells and makes muti and those kinds of things. Those people would be interesting too.
So, Alan, as you sort of are, you know, your life will be undergoing
changes.
I just want to clear
something up. Hang on. By no means are we equating Professor Szabo with these Inyangas and Umtagatis and all the rest of it, all right? The one is definitely a scientific basis thing. The other is much more a traditional thing. And we're not going to be forced to put them in the same category. I'm sorry.
But on that note, Gareth, this first episode, that's why we kicked off with cross-cultural stuff. The role of traditional medicine in psychiatry. That's why we open the most apropos topic to start this series was to look at what is happening in our traditional societies and traditional communities, and how Western medicine, so-called Western medicine, has integrated. And it's fascinating. The professor that he has on is just brilliant. Today, listen to the show if you want to learn more about that.
They're very good. CliffCentral.com.